Hi, I'm Dr. Joyce Starr, and you're listening to RightsRadio.com, where your rights have a permanent URL. Brought to you by StarPublishing.com and StarPublications.com. That's Star with two R's. Our topic today is hatred, flotillas of hatred in particular. National leaders make mistakes. While we were honoring our lost soldiers on Memorial Day, commandos from our sister nation Israel were given orders to rappel down a helicopter rope into a boatload of hatred. Did the soldiers choose their assignment? Did they look forward to being pummeled with pipes and knives? Did they anticipate that so-called peace activists on board would throw two of their own overboard and threaten to lynch others? Certainly not. Were they given orders to shoot to kill on sight? No. They were carrying paint guns. Did 9 people die nonetheless? Yes. Was it a tragic episode? Horribly so. Did Turkey's president and Hamas hope to create a confrontation with Israel over the Gaza aid flotilla? Absolutely. Was every man, woman, and child in Israel responsible for this turn of events? Should the world hold every newborn and yet to be born accountable? Surely not. And yet, the global fest of hatred against Israel, Israelis, and Jews, the most vicious in recorded memory, precisely because it was global and viral, erupted not in days, but in seconds, minutes, and hours. All that hatred was biding its time in virtual bunkers, waiting for the signal to attack. The New York Times and Washington Post instantly published a sea of comments so venomous that any sane person would think the world had suddenly gone insane. Insane over hatred of Israelis and Jews. The flotilla of words reached a feverish pitch when Helen Thomas, a 60-year veteran of the White House press corps, said Jews should, quote, get the hell out of Palestine and go back to Poland, Germany, America, and everywhere else, end quote. Or how about the European football chant, Hamas, Hamas, Jews to the gas? Perhaps the end game will come sooner than we think. When the world goes mad, Americans should get mad, not be dragged into the hysteria. Words matter. As one Israeli citizen wrote, the boats wanting to break the blockade are playing into the hands of people who don't give a damn about their passengers. You can't stop a conflict built on insanity with a Red Riding Hood mentality. We would rather not send our kids, boyfriends, and husbands to risk themselves or you. People have been saying things about Israel they wouldn't believe they said if we, Israeli citizens, the actual people, would send back their messages with a personal note about how it feels to see all their demons showing. Israel's blockade of Gaza is the result of colliding truths. Hamas has declared time and again its intention to destroy Israel and proved it by launching repeated rocket attacks from the Gaza staging area. Trying to stop the flow of weapons into Gaza, Israel declared a blockade 3 years ago. Egypt, viewing Hamas as a terrorist organization and threat, put its power behind the blockade. Yet there's been no outpouring of global hatred against Egypt. Iran is targeting a takeover of Gaza. A majority of Gazans voted for Hamas, but those who voted against Hamas weren't old enough to vote or weren't even alive when the vote took place are victims of leaders and policies they didn't choose. Was Israel and Egypt's multi-year blockade of Gaza the most effective option? Yes, and it's also unclear. The rocket attack stopped for now, but Gazans are hungry for hope. Was there a better way? Possibly. What was it? No one can say in retrospect with any certainty. Ironically, Turkey and Israel strengthened military and strategic cooperation during the same 3-year period. Yet I don't recall Turkey sending food, medical, and building supplies to Gaza until the Memorial Day flotilla. By comparison, Israel has been sending 10,000 tons of food, medicine, and other humanitarian supplies I want to quote Charles Krauthammer, who said, "Land for peace, let's remember. During the past decade, Israel gave the land, evacuating South Lebanon in 2000 and Gaza in 2005. What did they get? An intensification of belligerency, heavy militarization of the enemy side, multiple kidnappings, cross-border attacks, and from Gaza, years of unrelenting rocket attacks. The world is tired of these troublesome Jews, 6 million, that number again, refusing every invitation to national suicide. What action would you have taken against Hamas if you were the Prime Minister and/or Defense Minister of Israel? I would have personally been wiser, all-seeing, benevolent, and made no mistakes. But that's just me. What would the President of Iran do in a parallel situation? Or the President of Turkey? I'm certain they would have allowed in as many weapons as possible, embraced their enemies until it hurt, and told their own citizens to accept whatever fate has in store, including generously agreeing to vanish as a sovereign nation if it would make the world a happier place. And if that didn't work, they could have launched a flotilla of hatred against Israelis and Jews, because that's what rulers and pundits do when self-aggrandizement is their true objective. But truth has a way of rising to the surface. A new report states that activists who attacked Israeli commandos with clubs and knives boarded the ship in Istanbul without checks and were equipped by the Turkish government, including flak jackets embroidered with Turkish flags, communications equipment, and gas masks. Two final points. First, on Wednesday, June 9th, the United Nations passed a round of sanctions against Iran. China and Russia supported the sanctions, but Turkey voted against them. Secondly, the British petroleum oil disaster has been compared to a nuclear attack on the United States, certainly on our Gulf Coast ecosystem. Yet, and rightfully so, not a word has been heard in the press of irrational hatred toward the British people. This is Dr. Joyce Starr with Rights Radio. Thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.